and welcome to the Percussive Maintenance Podcast. I'm Herb Warple, Editor-in-Chief of Engineered Systems. Thank you for tuning in. Today, we're chatting with Heidi Creighton, Associate Principal of Sustainability with Bureau Happold. In this episode, Heidi will discuss some of the exciting design and architectural work that's occurred at the City Hall building in Santa Monica, California, how the facility achieved Living Building Challenge certification, the seven petals of the Living Building Challenge, and much more. Well, Heidi, welcome to the podcast. Can you please introduce yourself for our listeners?
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much for having me, Herb. My name is Heidi Creighton, and I'm an associate principal at Bureau Happold.
Great. Can you tell us a little bit more about Bureau Happold and your role within the firm?
Sure. Yeah, we are a group of engineers, consultants, and advisors, and we really truly value human well-being and really understand that for a sustainable future, it's really intrinsic to economic and social impact of our work. We really focus on a people-centric approach, and that really prioritizes occupant and community health and well-being, and really supports people in all of their wonderful complexity. And Herb, when I was working with a recent collaborator, they mentioned to me that at Bureau Happold were engineers with heart, and that sentiment really resonated strongly with me, and I agree with it. So we have about 1,900 employees in 24 offices across the globe, and I sit in our Los Angeles office, and I lead our sustainability practice for the West Coast.
Fantastic. That sounds like a great testimonial, and it sounds like a pretty big firm that you work for.
Yeah, it's great. I learn from my colleagues all the time. It's great.
So Heidi, this podcast, we're going to focus on a recent project you were involved with. That was the City Hall East project in Santa Monica. Can you give us a little bit more background on that?
Absolutely. So this is a 50,000 square foot building, and it will meet the Living Building Challenge. And that's really the world's most rigorous criteria for sustainability and for resilience. And it also folds in beauty and equity. And this project was designed by Frederick Fisher and Partners Architects, and it was built by Hathaway Dinwiddie. And at Bureau Happold, we provided the MEP engineering, the facade engineering, we did the lighting design, and are also doing the Living Building Challenge consulting. And the project is nearly complete, and commissioning activities are currently underway. And we anticipate that we'll receive the full Living Building Challenge certification in over a year from now, once we can provide the full year of utility data that will show that the project is net zero energy and net zero water.
Great. Now, I know you started on this project a little while ago, 2014, correct me if I'm wrong. But what were some of the primary design concerns that you first encountered when jumping on this project?
Yeah, great question. And yeah, these projects are almost like our babies, right? They do go on for many years. But I would say really the water pedal presented the most daunting goals for us, given that we're in a drought-prone location here in Southern California. And the Living Building Challenge water pedal requires that project achieve net zero water. We're under an older living building rating system, so now actually newer projects have to get to net positive water, but we have to meet net zero for this project. But that means 100% of the project's water needs must be supplied by captured rain or other natural closed-loop systems and or with using recycled used project water. And also all the stormwater and water discharge, including all of the gray and black water, has to be treated and managed on site. So early in the project, we had to do really detailed analysis of the water use patterns and look at the potential solutions to get the project to this lofty goal.
Any specific challenges stick out regarding the mechanicals or the HVAC side of the building?
Yeah, so another aspect of LBC is net zero energy. So we needed to have a really very specific understanding really early in the design of how the building was going to be used, and really understanding the occupant behavior, the occupancy schedules, and the plug loads. And for this project in particular, the plug loads are quite high. there's significant printing needs of the permit center. And also, too, there's a need for a lot of computing power because the city staff does a lot of GIS mapping of the utilities and other information for the city. So we needed a really clear understanding of the energy demands for the project so that we could correctly size the on-site renewable energy to meet the zero requirements.
I know that the engineer and architect teams on this project, as you mentioned, pursued this living building certification. For those who aren't aware of the living building certification, can you tell us a little bit more about it and what special arrangements were necessary to help you get to that level?
Absolutely. So Living Building Challenge is really the world's most rigorous proven performance standard for buildings. And it goes really above beyond certification program. It's also really a philosophy and an advocacy tool. And it promotes the most advanced measurements of sustainability in the built environment. And how it's structured, there are 7 pedals. And those pedals are place, water, energy, health and happiness, materials, equity, and beauty. Okay. And then within these 7 pedals, there's 20 required imperatives that must be met to meet the full Living Building Challenge certification. And the focus of the rating system is on regenerative design. So where buildings are designed and constructed that are informed by the bioregion's characteristics, that generate all of its own energy with renewable sources and captures and treats all of its water, and also is focused on beauty. So to have the project generate more energy and water than they use, they can't have any combustion, and they also have to meet really rigorous requirements of the materials red list. And I would say that Living Building Challenge is not for the faint at heart, but it really exemplifies how we should be designing and constructing and operating our buildings.
Can you dig a little deeper and list maybe some of the equipment or technologies that you guys sought to utilize to achieve these benchmarks?
Sure. So we had a pretty tight site that we were working with. So the design is a really thin floor plate, and we have 209 operable windows throughout the project. So that really allowed us to use strategic use of both daylight and natural ventilation for the project. And these strategies really help improve performance of the building because we can, you know, have open the windows and use the natural daylight instead of using electricity for air and light. It really increases occupant comfort and the connection to the outdoors, and it also reduces our operating and maintenance costs. Mm-hmm. And then for other systems and strategies, we have radiant tubing.
Okay.
So that's embedded in the slab throughout the offices and the meeting rooms, and that helps heat and cool the space and really optimizes comfort through that radiant heating and cooling. We also have this really great technology called phase change materials that we added into the partitions, and that absorbs the heat by the day and then releases it at night. And then all the building's electricity is supplied by rooftop photovoltaic arrays.
Okay.
And a shade structure that's over the parking spaces.
You know, another cool feature of the project is a water recycling solar array. Can you tell us a little bit about this addition and what that brought to the project?
Yeah, it is really exciting. So there's rainwater that's collected from the roof and from the PV canopies that I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. So every surface used for rainwater capture and treatment for potable water use had to be tested for NSF Protocol P151, mm-hmm. or had to demonstrate that it was previously used in another Living Building Challenge project. And just as an example, the Bullitt Center up in Seattle had undergone some NSF testing for their PV array,
okay.
and they were really generous, and they shared that analysis with the Santa Monica team, and that really helped us to satisfy when we were going for the permitting through the permitting process. And the CPO roof system that we used did have to be tested because there were really a minimal number of roofing systems that were tested to those standards.
And this whole system is exceptionally important, especially over there in California, like where you mentioned earlier, you guys are experiencing drought issues.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you, Herb. And, I mean, in Southern California, design teams really need to assume drought conditions for 9 months out of the year. That's our typical.
Wow.
And we all really need to work towards some of the regional targets that have been set, like what we see in the Our County Plan, which is to source 80% of our water locally by 2045. So we all really need to do our part in meeting those targets. And we just can't rely on external sources for our water, especially with climate change. And there's really a strong need for communities to become more resilient than they currently are. The city of Santa Monica is really leading the way. They've created a water neutrality ordinance, and that's a really critical tool for them to achieve water self-sufficiency mm-hmm. by 2023.
Wow.
And those actions will really increase the resiliency of Santa Monica's water supply from drought and from climate change, and it will also reduce the greenhouse gas emissions that are created from importing water.
So one thing we haven't talked about is this is a government building, which also creates a certain amount of regulatory hurdles that sort of stood in your guys' way. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those challenges?
Sure. So actually having the city as the client and operator of this building, we were able to achieve the project goals as they're really important advocates for the project, and they're also in control of their own water district. So those were all both very helpful.
Yeah.
This is the first project in California to convert rainwater to potable water, and it's also the first project in California to use composting toilets. So we're very happy about it. Both of those. But in this case, the City Hall East building design team really had to work hard to overcome obstacles presented by the building, the health, and the water codes to permit the project to meet the spirit of the water pedal. So we had more than 30 meetings with agencies from city, from county, from state, and even federal jurisdictions, which created a lot of layers of challenges that almost prevented this project from achieving its zero water goals.
Wow.
There were just obscure code references and some conservative interpretations that required the design team to constantly evolve. But we were able to work with them and create solutions to meet the schedule, meet the budget requirements, and also, really limiting any risk with these non-traditional systems that we were proposing. And the City of Santa Monica was there throughout the entire process, and we really couldn't have done it without them.
Heidi, now that the project is complete or nearing completion, how has the response been from the city and those visiting the building?
So, project construction is complete, and we've got commissioning activities that are currently taking place.
Mm-hmm.
City staff have been slowly starting to move their personal and work items into their workstations, but due to the stay-at-home orders, the building isn't yet fully open to staff working in it.
Sure.
But the Santa Monica staff that I've talked to are just chomping at the bit. They are so eager to move in and are really excited. And we had a virtual tour just a couple of weeks ago on Earth Day, and we had over 200 people attend that virtual tour.
How fun.
So that was really fantastic. And I expect that Santa Monica will be receiving many, many requests for tours of the building in the future. And it's just such an important project to demonstrate that a large-scale municipal building can achieve such rigorous targets.
Right. And much like all projects in the AEC industry, this design and project can now serve as a little bit of a guinea pig, right? You can take this model and this approach and sort of utilize it throughout the country.
Oh, I certainly hope so. Our hope is that the project is really truly a demonstration of what can be achieved. And I think it'll play a really critical role in educating others and inspiring them to follow suit. So our hope is that we've really created a path for others to follow suit, particularly around the permitting process and approvals. Another really important aspect of the Living Building Challenge is education. And the design and construction team right now, we're compiling a significant case study on the project, and that will be publicly available once the project achieves certification. And that's true of every Living Building Challenge certification. Transparency and education and bringing others up so that they can achieve these goals as well.
Awesome. I know this project's been near and dear to your heart. So while we have you on the line, is there anything else you'd like to share?
So by working to achieve the Living Building Challenge, we have vetted over 1,000 products to eliminate red list chemicals from the project.
Okay.
And the red list is a list of chemicals that are commonly used in construction but need to be removed because they are toxic and harmful chemicals. Mm-hmm. And eliminating these materials improves health outcomes, not just for the building occupants, but also too by the whole life cycle, right? Those that are manufacturing these products, the construction workers, the fence line communities where these materials are being extracted and manufactured, and first responders, and all of these people are impacted by our material choices. So working on this project really opened our eyes to the significant impacts of the materials that we're specifying and the equity impacts of those choices.
Awesome. Heidi, we appreciate your time today, and thank you for introducing us to this project. If our listeners are interested in connecting with you or Bureau Happel, where should they turn?
Okay, thanks. You are welcome to go to our website, which is www.bureauhappel.com. And you can also follow us on the typical platforms, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube as well.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again, Heidi. We do appreciate your time. We hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much.
That wraps up our interview with Heidi Creighton. As she noted, if you're interested in connecting with Bureau Happold, visit www.bureauhappold.com. That's BUROHAPPOLD.com. The Percussive Maintenance Podcast is now available on iTunes. Be sure to bookmark us on your preferred mobile listening device so that you can enjoy all of our past and future episodes. We appreciate your continued support. And remember, if you can't fix it with your brain, you can always rely on a swift kick. We'll see you next time.